Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Silver and Black Today. Your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back. Silver and Black Today, powered by our good friends Sam and Ash, the injury attorneys. Call them anytime, and I mean anytime, 24-7, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. Welcome back, Raider Nation. Welcome back, Las Vegas. Welcome back, the world. We appreciate you streaming us on the Raiders official mobile app, as well as at lvsportsnetwork.com. I am your host, Scott Culbranson, to talk with you over the next 2 hours about Raiders football. Of course, we're moving into the offseason, so some days there won't be much Raiders news. So what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about the NFL. We're going to talk about sports as it comes up. So as we move, you know, no team in the history of the NFL has had its own, meaning that 24/7 devoted to the Silver and Black, devoted to the culture that is Raider Nation. But as we move into the offseason, there'll be some times when there's not a lot going on. So we'll talk about other things as well, but we'll also always find the Raiders angle, and we'll also have our Raiders edge here, right? I mean, this is the Silver and Black. We just do things here differently, just like you as fans do things differently. So we'll do that, and we'll talk about come up. But there's a lot going on in the NFL. We'll talk a lot about that today. A big, big offseason. Of course, coming off the pandemic, coming off the COVID-19 year that was 2020. Yes, turn the page, 2021. Everyone was so happy to see the year come. But there's still a lot of unknowns with the NFL. There's a lot of unknown with the Raiders as well. We'll talk about that. On today's show, just a quick rundown of what we got going. And of course, most importantly, you're always part of the show. That's right. It's your show too. So you can call in anytime. 702-365-9200 is the number. We'll talk about anything. You can call in, talk, go off about the Raiders. You can talk about history of the Raiders. You can talk about the Hall of Fame. Of course, Tom Flores, Charles Woodson going into the Hall of Fame at the next induction. That's huge news for Raider Nation. Now I've got to get Cliff Branch and a couple other guys in there, but I think Cliff Branch is number one. I heard an interview today on Sirius XM NFL Radio with Drew Pearson, of course, who was finally elected into the Hall of Fame, and he mentioned Cliff Branch today as one of the guys that should be in there too, so that's good. And I think that a lot of the folks that did such a great job of campaigning over the last few years for Coach Flores need to do so for Cliff Branch. And unfortunately, we lost Cliff at the end of 2019, and we need to really, I think, get on top of that. As a fan base, you out there, you got to do that's the next focus. Not that there aren't other guys on the Raiders that also deserve to be in, because there are. There's plenty of guys, including my man Phil Villapiano, some other guys. But first, Cliff Branch. There's just no denying. It doesn't matter what era you look at, because numbers can be skewed compared to the 70s versus the 2020s now, yards per catch and all that. That's all different, yes. But there's no denying what Cliff Branch did and that he deserves. He should have been there so long ago. It's a travesty as well. So we'll work on that, I think. But on today's show, coming up at 2:30, Jesse Merrick, who's my Tuesday guest always. Jesse covers the Raiders here in Las Vegas for News 3 Las Vegas. He'll be here. We'll talk to him. He's a big Bucks fan. So we talked to him before the Super Bowl. We talked to him last week, and he was excited. He picked the Chiefs, though. I mean, yes, his heart's with the Bucks. He's been a lifelong Bucks fan, but he went in thinking what we all did was that, yeah, that Mahomes magic, all that stuff will overcome any of the deficiencies that the Chiefs has. Boy, were we wrong. We were wrong. Now, it's a positive for Raider Nation to see the Chiefs lose, right? I mean, you guys are all happy about that. Yes, Tom Brady won number 7. I get it. But the Chiefs don't have another Super Bowl. They don't have another Lombardi trophy to try to catch up with the Raiders, right? So that in itself is a big deal. So we'll talk to Jesse about the Super Bowl. Pardon me. We'll also talk to him about the Raiders and, you know, how far are the Raiders away? Yes, the defense was terrible last year. I understand that. But how quickly can you turn it around? I think you can turn things around very, very quickly with the right moves. And so we'll talk to Jesse about that too. What do we learn from the Super Bowl, the Chiefs being the primary target for the Raiders? Because the Raiders, they want to win a division title too, right? Get home field advantage if they can in a playoff, if you get that far. And so we'll talk to Jesse about that, what we learned about the Raiders. We'll also talk at the top of the second hour, we're going to get into Raiders free agents. Okay, our good friend Tashawn Reed over at The Athletic, they did a piece on free agency, and he listed the 10 best free agents that he feels the Raiders should pursue. And many of them, myself and Q Myers, have talked about on this show a lot of them. So we'll talk through those. I want to hear you guys call in too. Who do you want the Raiders to make an effort to go get and sign? Specifically whom? Yes, it's defense, I understand. But who do you want them to go get? They're going to free up cap space, folks. They're going to, I don't see Trent Brown coming back. I just don't. I don't think he's going to renegotiate. He'll be elsewhere. And then you have other, we heard over the last few days, we talked about it yesterday in this show, about the Raiders and Marcus Mariota, that there's some interest on the trade market for him, perhaps with New England, as Albert Breer reported. So we'll talk about that too. So you're going to free up quite a bit of cash. Right now, the Raiders' salary cap doesn't look awesome. It looks tough, right? $8.5 million over or whatever it is. But they're going to free up a lot. And I think you're going to start to see that as we get into the new year in March. But that's next month. It's only a month away. But we're going to look into that too and find out. But I want to hear from you guys. I really, do you have somebody nobody's thinking about? Is there somebody out there you think can help this Raiders defense more than anyone else is thinking, and no one's mentioning the names? There's some names, and we'll go through them at 3 o'clock, but I want to hear from you guys, 702-365-9200 as well. You can also text us, yes, the Sam and Ash text line, 69187. Use the letters R&R, your question, and your name. And we can get to those as well. So we'll do that and too. And then later in the show, towards the end of the show, we will talk to my colleague here at Raider Nation Radio. That is the beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. That is Vinny Bonsignor. We'll talk to him too, find out what's going on and get his view on some of these conversations around the Raiders and trade market and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot going on under the covers, so to speak. It's not necessarily something way out front where you're going to get a ton of Raider news. But there is NFL news, of course. The league is a 24/7, 365. And leading it off, a guy the Raider fans don't like very much as a coach, Marty Schottenheimer, passed away today, 77 years old, of course. He had dementia and was put into a hospice last week. He had Alzheimer's, excuse me. And Schottenheimer, of course, coached the Chiefs for 10 years, compiling a record of 101-58-1. In the regular season. He's in the Chiefs Hall of Fame. He also coached the Chargers. With the Chargers, he was 47-33. And the Browns, of course, he coached there his first five seasons, where he was 44-27. Schottenheimer did not like the Raiders. And from what we gather from all the conversations we've had with folks around the league, from people who played for the Chiefs, including former players who've been on this show, on this air, telling us how much Marty hated the Raiders and Al Davis. Now, that said, anybody who faces Alzheimer's and goes through Alzheimer's, and Marty's wife, Pat, and his kids, of course, who you know some because they coach, terrible. And you can hate him as the coach of the Chiefs, but from a human standpoint, Marty Schottenheimer, he won. I know he had challenges in the postseason, and the stupid idiots at the Washington Post in the headline of his obituary before they got it changed after outcry nationally, that's what they had in the headline, was his postseason failures. The man's life, his obituary. I mean, come on. Yes, it's part of his record as a coach. That's fine. But let's be serious. I mean, come on. Let's be serious. Somebody passes away. Remember, they have a family. And again, I know he was anti-Raider and all that. But at the same time, his family. Think about his family. So I'm glad the Washington Post was basically forced to change that headline of his obituary. Just disgusting, It's just... And it's funny, too, because I've gotten a lot of direct messages today from a lot of my listener friends out there, some of the people and staff at Silver and Black today. I've been sharing, I'm a big quote guy. I love motivational quotes. I always find value in them. I really do. I just, every day you have moments of doubt, you have moments of uncertainty or challenges, and They always help me. So I'm so tired of seeing negativity in social media, and I know I'm swimming upstream, and I know I'll have very little impact, I'm sure. But I've been starting to share, you know, motivational quotes and things that I find very useful. And so I got a lot of people reach out and say, hey, is everything okay with you? Is something wrong? I had one guy, you know, what's up with all the Hallmark moments, you know, all this kind of stuff. And really, it's just, I'm just trying to bring some positivity, man. And, you know, Marty Schottenheimer, yeah, hated the Raiders. It was a bitter rivalry. And I get it. But the man passed away. He's got a family. It's time to turn the page. You bury the hatchet and you move on, right? So that's sort of what I'm trying to do. So when you see that, and all that, so it'll be interesting. But we'll see how it all goes down, and hopefully you guys. I mean, hey, if I can impact one person with a positive moment in their day, maybe they had a bad day, maybe they got bad news, maybe they're just struggling because they're busy at work, whatever it is. Hopefully you find it. If you don't, and you don't care, then so be it. You can ignore it. But anyway, all right, we're going back on the phone lines, going out on the Raider Nation radio listener hotline to the best listeners in all of radio, and that, of course, is the listeners of Raider Nation Radio. We'll start off with Eduardo. Eduardo, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thank you for having me on. Man, I've been a diehard Raider fan since I was a little kid. But just to answer your question about some trade options, you know, this may sound pretty wild, but, you know, you can just throw in Derek Carr in the first few rounders to Chicago Bears and bring back Khalil Mack.
I hear that one a lot, Eduardo, but there's something about never going backwards. Even though he's a great player, I just don't think that – I don't think you could ever get past the whatever happened with him and Gruden and the fact that they couldn't come together. I don't know that that could ever be overcome.
Well, yeah, man. I mean, I know a lot of people hate Carr. I don't hate Carr, but, you know, if Carr don't work out, you know, like they're saying, they're opening options of Marcus Mariota, you know. Man, make something wild happen, you know. We need somebody like Richard Sherman to come over. Man, we definitely need – defensive pass rush, man. I'm tired, and I'm so tired of them not being able to get to the quarterback and disrupting the man. Like, I scream off my chest, dude, every time I see the defense go out there, and I'm vouching for them to do something, man.
And you're right, though. You're right, though, Eduardo. I mean, look what happened in the Super Bowl, right? And I said this yesterday on yesterday's show. You win championships up front on both sides of the ball, offensive line, defensive line, and at quarterback, exactly. Right? So you have a top 10 quarterback. I know not everybody's sold on Carr still after 8 years, but I have every reason to believe he will be the quarterback still next year. So you're fine there. You need to, I think, get depth on that offensive line. But you're right. You need that alpha dog. You need that badass defensive end, or somebody up the middle too, actually, to create that. You have to disrupt passers.
Exactly, man. You know, I really believe in the Gruden and Mayock process, and man, I'm with whatever what they do. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that hate on it, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, Eduardo, I think you're right. But you know what, man? This is what I was just saying just a minute ago. Like, I understand Raider fans being frustrated. I'm not saying they shouldn't be. But at the same time, the old saying, it's always darkest before the dawn. You know, I think the Raiders are closer than people think. I think that, yes, the last two seasons, the fades in the second half of the season are concerning. They need to do that. That's on Coach Gruden. But at the same time, they just need to get more talent in that. And I don't think they're that far away, because I think you look at what happened with the Buccaneers. You know, they get that quarterback, they get some offensive weapons, their defense responds, and suddenly they win the Super Bowl. So I think the Raiders, they get a couple of those guys on defense and then get better performance under Gus Bradley from some of those young defensive guys that you've already invested in. And I think you have a different thing. Like, I picked them to go 9-7 last season. I don't see why they shouldn't win 10 or 11 games next season with all this stuff together, if they add the right pieces. So we'll see, Eduardo, but I love your positive attitude, man. You take care. We'll talk to you soon. All right, there's Eduardo. That opens up a line. 702-365-9200 is the number to get online. What do you guys think? He wanted Khalil Mack. I know that was, he was just having fun with that one, but he mentioned some names there. Richard Sherman. We talked about Richard Sherman towards the end of last season, right after the season ended. Q and I did, talked about, hey, yeah, okay, I understand he's not the same player he once was. But to have them back there, to have them back there with the guys like Arnett, with Jonathan Abram, with Trayvon Mullen, that's the kind of leader you want in that locker. You guys got to figure out, or they have to figure out. We heard the Nelson Aguilar hubbub and all that stuff. It's about the locker room. You need the leadership in the locker room. It doesn't have to come from the quarterback only. It can come from a lot of places. And on defense, they're young. The Raiders are young. And so you get a dog back there like Richard Sherman, and I'm not saying he's going to be all pro, but the value he brings, and I know that's what they said about Jason Witten this year, and I think that did help the offense, by the way. Not everybody feels that way, but I do. And I do think, though, that a Richard Sherman or someone like that, I mean, I like Marcus May with the Jets, too, younger, but also an alpha guy that would be good in the locker room with those young guys, too. So I think there's different ways to go about it. There's different guys to target. But I think that's the recipe. The recipe is you got to get veteran leadership in that locker room. All right, we're going out to Alan on the Raider Nation Radio Hotline. You're on with Scott here on Silver and Black today. What's up, Alan?
Scott, how you been?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I haven't called in a while. First, I want to give my congratulations to Tom Flores and Charles Woodson for making it into the Hall of Fame and for Violators for making it into the Hall of Fans. Condolences to Marty Schottenheimer's family. I know he hated the Raiders. He also hated the Chargers and the Chiefs, and I respect that because I hate the Chiefs and I hate the Chargers too and the Broncos. So at the end of it, it's all love. But
that's right.
It's all love, respect. And I'm hoping that we can get a J.J. Watt. We just need somebody to come into our defense or the team really who is proven, who can bring in some leadership and some accountability to our team and to our defense. I think Richard Sherman would do it as well. I know he's past his prime, but maybe we can get him too on a reduced salary. But I would really love to get J.J. Watt. Is that a viable option?
Well, it is. It's just a matter of what's the price going to be. Now he's kind of towards the twilight of his career, but he still plays well. Thanks, Alan, for the call. He's one of those guys where, yeah, he definitely brings that to the locker room. I mean, you saw him go out on the dais during press conference this year and call out his teammates on Houston because they were playing like crap and they weren't committed, and he called them out publicly. Now, when you have a player doing that publicly, that means things have gotten to a really bad situation. You want to avoid that. But I think J.J. Watt, you know, it depends what the price would be and how healthy he is, right? But there's other guys, too. I mean, Leonard Floyd of the Rams. Of course, you have Justin Houston from who you're familiar with, of course, from the Colts. Trey Hendrickson from the Saints. These are some of the guys that are out there that I think are doing it. And then, of course, Leonard Williams, who's a younger guy. But I think wherever you get that accountability, that leadership, that guy who's going to come in and make sure everybody is minding their P's and Q's, as my grandmother used to say, that's what you need. So wherever you get it, it doesn't matter if it's up front. I mean, preferably up front, just because they need somebody. They need somebody who's going to scare quarterbacks that they got to worry about. Every time he comes up on the line, they got to account for him. That's what the Raiders need. All right, we're going out to Raider Mark. Raider Mark, you're on with Scott here on Silver and Black today. You back home, man, or are you still in Florida?
No. This is Ray Mark in Vegas.
Oh, in Vegas. I'm sorry. Got you, man. There's a couple of you. I want to make sure I have the right one.
I know. Man, I called you a long time ago and a few times, a lot of times when you first started, man. I want to thank you for being a pillar in Vegas, man, for supporting the Raider Nation.
And, oh, thank you, Mark. Thanks for listening, man.
Yeah, I don't remember. I'm from San Diego, so I followed Marcus Allen because my brother played against him in high school. He went to Lincoln High School. I have four brothers. We all went to Morris High School. So I've been a Raiders fan for years, and of course I graduated with Lincoln, and I haven't talked to Lincoln in a while. So, but I'll hook up with him someday. But yeah, man. I mean, if rest in peace, Marty. You know, the Gleam. You know, it's the Gleam, man. The Gleam. So I know you hated the Raiders. You hated all the AFC West foes, which you're supposed to. And you know, one of the greatest memories I've seen him losing was to Tom Brady and the Patriots in the playoffs. That was a great game when they had the fumble and they recovered it and the Patriots got the ball back and they won and they jumped on their the Charger symbol there, but you know, Charger hater. But hey, as far as like free agency and everything, man, I think I don't know if anybody's talking about like Marcus Williams for the Saints. He's only 24 years old, man. He's a great safety. He could tackle. And then my boy Leonard Williams, man, he wanted to come to the Raiders before the draft. Before the draft, he mentioned coming to the Raiders. I mean, if we can get a couple guys to staple on that side of the ball, and also don't forget about the offense, too. I mean, if you guys read that article or listened to that article with Waller, he was talking about both sides of the ball, the inconsistency with the Raiders and how they fell off and they got tired and they couldn't concentrate and they couldn't get them going. So don't forget about the offensive side of the ball, too, not along on the defensive side of the ball. And I was just thinking, you know, Scott said, man, what if Carr had a top 10, top 5 defense? You know what? He might be a Super Bowl quarterback because he hasn't had that since he's been here in 8 years. So keep that in mind, Raider fans. I think we're going to go in the right direction. Hopefully what Waller's saying, it resonates with the team and they can be more consistent and then, you know, take over AFC West, buddy.
Yeah, no doubt. And you brought up a lot of those great, since you're from San Diego like I am, you mentioned, of course, Marcus Allen and Lincoln Kennedy, your classmate from Morris, also great football down there all the time. And then, of course, Eric Allen from Point Loma. And then even Carl Weathers went to San Diego State. He's not originally from San Diego, but he went to San Diego State. So a lot of guys with Raiders. Of course, Al Davis started as a Chargers assistant coach under Sid Gilman. Right. So, yeah, a lot of connections there. But I agree with you, man. I think there's a lot of guys out there I think, you know what I find with fans in general, this is not just Raider Nation, this is NFL fans in general, is they get focused on three or four names. And if those three or four names don't happen, then they're disappointed. But there's a lot of good guys out there, and you mentioned a few of them that I think the Raiders need to consider, and I'm sure they will. So it'll be good, man. And Raider Mike, thanks for calling, man. Don't be a stranger. Call in more often, all right?
Yeah, I will, man.
Okay, my man. Take care of yourself. All right. That's Raider Mark. All right. We're going out to Brian in Henderson. Brian, what's going on today with you on this Tuesday?
Hey, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. How about you?
Doing good. I would really love for us to stop going after these older free agents like the J.J. Watts and Richard Sherman. To me, it's just not a good look. We need some young people. Like, I would really love to Dr. Simmons. Give up a first-round pick to Denver and get Simmons, the safety. He's young, I believe he's 24, 25. And also go after free agency Leonard Williams for the defensive line if we can't get Simmons or vice versa. And Ngakoue. Q's been talking about that for a while, and I've been thinking about him as well. He's a linebacker / DN. And he is an alpha dog. In regards to people saying Cleo Mack was not, he was an alpha dog, but he wasn't boisterous in the locker room. He's actually a really quiet guy.
Right.
So I don't understand why people are saying, oh, yeah, he's somebody to, you know, get the locker room. No, he's not the type of person some players lead by example instead of barking in the locker room. But Cleo Mack wasn't that type.
No, you're right. And there was issues in that locker room, right? I mean, I know that was Del Rio and all that stuff, but there was issues there. So I don't know if that gets you. Now, your point about older free agents, Brian, I would agree with you under normal circumstances, but I do think with the defense is already extremely young, okay? So I would say that, yeah, all of their acquisitions should not be old school veteran players. I agree with you there. Like, Justin Simmons is a great name, but the cost that's going to take to get Justin Simmons away from, because he can be tagged in Denver, number one. And if he's not tagged, if he is tagged, then you have to give compensation. And I just don't know, in a division rival, I don't know. Like, I would love to have, I love Justin Simmons coming out of college. He was one of my favorite players. But I love that thinking. I'm not saying it's impossible. I think the price would be extremely high, and I think he'd be fine playing with Jonathan Abram. But at the same time, you look at some of those other older free agents, and Ngakoue is a guy I like too. You're right. Both Q and I had talked about him last year a lot when he was still floating around before he got traded to Minnesota. The problem is I think he could get tagged again, number one. And number two, there's a lot, if you listen to the chatter around the NFL, he's a very talented player. There's no question. But work ethic is an issue. And so are you going to deal with a situation like you had, and I know this is an extreme example, like with Trent Brown, you know, with somebody who's not as committed. So I think that's where they have to be really careful. And I think the Raiders have to do their due diligence. But I agree with you. You can't go, I mean, J.J. Watt, to me, if you go in the draft and you get a couple defensive players, young guys, and then you supplement it with a J.J. Watt, I'm okay with that. If you go get J.J. Watt and then another guy who's in the twilight of his career and another guy like Sherman who's in the twilight of their career, then I understand and I'm with you on that one. But I think there is a happy medium there somewhere as well. All right, Brian and Henderson, thanks for the call, man. We'll talk to you real soon. Okay, it is time for our first break. We're going to pay some bills. When we come back, I will be joined by Jesse Merrick from News 3 Las Vegas. We'll tie a bow on the Super Bowl. He's a big Bucks fan, so we'll get a little bit of elation, I'm sure, from him. And then we'll get back after that interview back to your calls. My producer, Chris Chapman, will join me. We'll talk about some stuff, and we'll talk about Raider free agents the whole next hour, too. So keep the calls coming. Some really good ideas, some great names coming out of Raider Nation today at 702-365-9200. You're listening to The Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Welcome back, Silver and Black Today, here on this Tuesday. And just terrible news, man. A guy that we've had on the show here several times from Kansas City, Terrez Paylor, a well-known NFL writer, has suddenly passed away. We learned from Yahoo Sports. Terrez's fiance shared an announcement that he had passed away unexpectedly. And man, it's just, you know, we've had some of these this trying time with COVID and all that, but also just losing guys left and right and women left and right. And it's just sad. And Terrez was always great with me, not only as a guest on this show on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio, but on a previous station. And then always a guy I could text and ask about NFL happenings, and also with the Chiefs, obviously, because he was based in Kansas City. And he did a lot with our good friends at 610 Sports in Kansas City. And my best goes out to his fiance, Ebony, and his family. Terrez Paylor passed away today. Just a shock to the system. It's just, as I said earlier in the show, you know, it's stay positive. You never know how much time you have. Focus on the positive, and you just don't know how much time we have. So just bad, bad news to get here during the show. But we forge on as he would like us to do, and we go back on the Raider Nation hotline with 211 Steel Reserve. 211 Steel Reserve, what's going on this Tuesday, man? What you got for me?
Man, check this out, fellas. Just listening to you guys. Love the station, man. You guys keep up the great work. Speaking on what you just said, man, we're losing a lot of people. It just feels like, you know, as of late that are in the public eye as far as sports fans. And not to say that anyone else is any less, but all prayers to all families that we've lost recently. I don't care what field you're in. But yep, to speak on Marty Schottenheimer real quick, man, hated but respected. That guy is a vital part. Like, you know, we learned a lot from the Al Davis documentary. Al would fight you tooth and nail and despise you. But in the end, he just wished good health for you. No, nothing ill will like that or death upon anyone. And just like that, Marty Schottenheimer was a vital part of everyone recognizing us as Raider Week. And they just picked up steam across the NFL. There's teams that call us Raider Week that aren't even in our division. So, mad respect to him. Great great person as a coach, man. And but real quick, then, touching on the bringing in a free agent, a veteran, I know that the guys preach, especially preaches that, how are these guys young? You can't use young as an excuse. But I think young, maybe as far as not knowing how to be a leader or how to pull off your job at this level, because it's definitely a faster-paced game in the NFL pro level. So I think they should definitely bring in a guy like Richard Sherman. Knows the system, knows the coach, can definitely be a coach on the field, and has great character on the field. He calls his players out. He rips into a player when he's not keeping on his assignment. And I just think the dude's a great person, very, very smart, has a 4-point-some IQ from Stanford. You go to Stanford for an education, not football, fellas, so that's why we bring in.
Yeah, Steel Reserve, I agree with you, man. And that's why Q and I talked about him several weeks ago, because it just kind of – you have, you know, when you do – and now Q has his own show that conflicts with this, so that's the only reason he's not on with us anymore all the time, and he can make it when he can. But we just kind of had that mind meld where – the same day we're like, man, what about Richard Sherman? And we're like, yeah, that would be great, actually. And I agree with you. I think you're right. You want on any team is you want some balance and you want a mixture. You want a diverse group of guys. You want the young studs who are out there trying to prove themselves. But then you also want the guys like Richard Sherman. You're right. He is a cerebral guy. He's a business-focused guy, and like you said, he went to Stanford. He's really smart. He can offer a lot to those young – I mean, imagine Richard Sherman – In the ear of Jonathan Abram every day. I mean, imagine that. That is a huge thing. That guy can teach Jonathan Abram and all of those defensive backs and the entire defensive roster a lot. So I think if you can find that balance, if you can find a guy like Sherman who's been there at the highest levels, he's been to the mountaintop, he can talk and tell these guys what they need to do and, more importantly, hold them accountable, which is huge. Great call, Steel Reserve. We'll talk to you next time. All right, it's time to go out on the Newsmaker Hotline, and we bring in our good friend Jesse Merrick from News 3 Las Vegas. You can follow him at JesseNews3LV on Twitter. Jesse, how you feeling, man? You still walking a little bit on air after your Bucks won the Super Bowl?
Heck yeah, man. I haven't come down yet. I think in a normal year, the party might still be going on, but due to COVID and everything, keeping the celebration mellow this year.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, I know so much is focused on Tom Brady, right? So Tom Brady comes in the building, and there's no question that him being in the building and the guys who followed him there, like Gronkowski, like Antonio Brown, who factored so heavily in the Super Bowl win against the Chiefs. But you look at that team and what the Glazers and what Bruce Arians was able to do, it was a team effort. The defense, of course, was huge in this game, but that defense was the same defense last year that finished 7-9 because they had the turnover machine in Jameis Winston. Talk about that, though, for that defense. I mean, I think it goes to show you that mindset, bringing in a positive influence like a Tom Brady, a veteran, and a coach who believes in what they're doing and believes in the players he has, that made all the difference.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, people forgot that the Bucks had the defense that they did, entering this season, and then all of a sudden come playoffs, they're like, oh, wait a second, okay. But, yeah, I mean, just bringing a guy like Brady in there that's been there and then done that, and then brings over so many of the people that have been there and done that, whether it's Gronk or, Antonio Brown, who, obviously I know how Raider Nation feels about him, and, I totally understand it. I was conflicted when they signed him, but he's a guy that's played at a high level for a long time, And then you also bring in a guy like Leonard Fournette, who has made a run in the playoffs at times with the Jags. Those are guys that have made deep runs like that, so they bring that kind of championship mindset, and it changes the fortunes around. I don't know this for a fact, but I thought I heard Romo, we were the worst winning percentage franchise in the history of the NFL, and Brady kind of flipped that around. And if that is true, if I heard that right, it just goes to show you how much of a difference one guy makes. And again, that's why he's the GOAT. He comes in, sets the standard, and instantly people start believing, and half the battle is believing. Take it till you make it, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly. Jesse Merrick from News 3 Las Vegas is our guest here. And Jesse, the one thing, too, I'll tell you, and I said it a lot yesterday on the show, was from a coaching perspective, Andy Reid gets all the credit he deserves for being a great coach, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers staff did such an amazing job of coaching in this game. And Andy Reid coached the worst game he's ever coached in the postseason, I believe. But you look at what Todd Bowles was able to do on defense, doing that split safety, that two high safety, and basically basically telling Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy and the offensive staff of the Chiefs, you're going to have to run the ball, and you're not going to be able to go deep. You're not going to beat us over the top. We know what Tyreek Hill can do, and we're not going to let you do it. They did that, and then, of course, you had that front line of the Buccaneers who, again, played so well over the last 8 weeks of the season, including into the Super Bowl. And, man, I'll tell you what, everybody was up in arms that Eric Bieniemy didn't get a job. What about Todd Bowles, and what about Byron Leftwich? These guys deserve a shot.
Yeah, they really do. I've had that conversation with a lot of friends today, and I mean, you didn't hear them at any point on the radar for anybody, really. I mean, there was little talks here and there, but it was always like, oh, eventually they're going to get a shot. I mean, man, there's few out there more deserving than them with the run that they went on here in the playoffs and the way that defense played. And even on the other side of the ball, again, with Byron, you know, the way the offense played overall. But, yeah, man, it was a wild game overall. I mean, the scheme that Bowles came with and the game plan that he had was impressive. But I was shocked to see the Chiefs come to this one and think, hey, you know, the Bucs are just going to continue to play that they did, you know, the previous time, you know, that we played each other. And that, to me, was insane. Like, you know, okay, they're just going to let Tyreek Hill catch 1,000 yards again in the first quarter. Like, no, they're going to play a decent defense. And, you know, the Chiefs didn't show the ability to adapt and change their game plan. They kept trying to say, hey, this is what we're going to do, rather than, you know, taking what the defense was giving them. When they ran the ball, they had success. You know, and I thought they were going to stick with that a little bit more and maybe go with some more of the underneath passes. And we didn't see that till the end when, you know, the game was out of hand. But, yeah, it was an incredible job by Todd Bowles and to draw that up. And the biggest thing was he did it without blitzing. I think only blitzed like 5 or 6 times, which was, you know, insane to be able to do that. You know, they always say you got to be able to get to them without blitzing, and they did that in every way possible in that game.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that's key there too, is they knew who they had to shut down, and they knew they had to disrupt the quarterback. And we saw the Raiders do it. The Raiders, you know, best defensive game probably was against the Chiefs, and certainly the staff in Tampa Bay was paying attention and understood what they need to do and really drew it up well. You look at the offensive side, Jesse, and Tom Brady, of course, you know, the Tom Brady, the Gronkowski connection, that was going to happen. You knew it was going to be big in this game. And before this game started, going to last week when you and I last talked, we both picked the Chiefs, right? You weren't going with your heart. You were going with the data and what you thought might happen, and so was I. Yep. But when you look at this, and you look at what Tom Brady and the Bucs offense was able to do, they did exactly what they needed to do. Yes, he didn't put up audacious numbers, although his quarterback rating was huge. But they did exactly what, and this is where I think. And look, I'm not a Tom Brady fan, but I respect him, right? And I look at what he's able to do, and people call him a system quarterback, and they call him all this kind of stuff, but it doesn't matter. He will do what he needs to win. He doesn't go for the stat sheet. He's not going for the yardage stuff. He was able to lead that offense, not make mistakes, and none of the Buccaneers did either. And to me, I said to you last week, they're going to have play a near-perfect game, and they really did.
Yeah, they did, and I was laughing as I was watching the game. You know, I couldn't help but think John Gruden was watching that, you know, with a big smile on his face saying, that's my kind of ball right there on offense, because they ran the ball and said, hey, we're going to be more physical than you. They max protect Brady, and then they did play action and things like that and got the ball moving down the field and got the tight end involved. I was just cracking up thinking that the whole time, and, you know, they stuck to their plan. They did it, they executed, and you know, it's the cliche of, you know, the more physical team wins and the game is won in the trenches. But if you look at it on both sides of the ball, that's what it was. And they were able to impose their will, you know, on the ground against the Chiefs, which, you know, I honestly didn't know how we were going to fare in that sense, because the Chiefs had stopped the Browns, you know, then they'd stopped some other teams throughout the playoffs, you know, that like to run the ball. So you kind of thought maybe, okay, how's that ground game going to go? But they got it going, and that opened so many things for their offense. And again, at the end of the day, you know, the knock that everybody says on Brady is when you get to him, you pressure him, that's when everything falls apart. They weren't able to do that at all in that game. And, you know, that really took them out of sorts. And also, too, I think the tempo that they went with early on, you know, they had the quick count. Brady didn't let them kind of disguise much. It was like the Chiefs defense was out there trying to move around and pretend like they were doing one thing, which, you know, they like to do. But he snapped it so quick, they were kind of out of position at times, and they were able to capitalize on that among many other things.
Yeah, that offensive line did so good, and even Wirfs, the rookie, did so great out of Iowa. And I'll tell you what, again, the lines, defensive line, offensive line, and quarterback. That's how you win a championship. And the perfect example was watching the Buccaneers. Now, you look at the defense, too, though, off the line. I mean, you pair Paul, of course, up front. Shaq Barrett had another good game. But Devin White, a name that makes Raider fans' butts clench together because they had a chance to get him and didn't draft him. But I look at this kid, Jesse, and I just say to myself, man, he played like a 10-year veteran. I'm talking, not only was the level of his play so high, and he very easily, in my book, could have been the MVP, but his leadership and the command he has on the field at that linebacker position is just amazing. And I think this guy is going to be a superstar.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And Raider Nation, I feel for you guys. I'm happy we got him, but it definitely is tough to see him doing what he's doing. And he has been incredible. He should have won the MVP. I think maybe if he gets that interception earlier in the game, you know, when it's not completely out of hand, maybe, you know, he's got more of a shot. But I think they kind of robbed him of that. Shoot, maybe even give it to Todd Bowles. I think he deserved it more than anybody else. But, you know, that's the world we live in right now. Quarterbacks are the top dogs when it comes to an award like that. But, yeah, Devin White has been unbelievable all year. I mean, when you think about it, the speed that he brings to his game as well, speed and physicality, really. But honestly, you know, when everyone talks about the run defense that the Bucs have, you know, he's such a huge part of it because he's so fast sideline to sideline and sticking his foot around and going after things. I believe it was either him or Lavani, I can't remember for sure, but the screen pass that they tried to get to Kelce where he just totally blew it up. Fairly early on in the game. That was one where you're just like, wow, this guy is unbelievable. And then again, you know, multiple times, you know, stick his foot in the ground on the option and stop him for no gain, and Kansas City's not able to get a rhythm going. So he was a total game changer for the Bucs in the Super Bowl, but really all year. And I can't wait to see kind of what the future holds for him in this defense.
Yeah, Lavonte David had another great game too. Vita Vea in the middle as well. It just goes to show you again, they you know, the Buccaneers. I was skeptical about the Buccaneers just because I didn't know how that whole meshing together of the offense that Bruce Arians runs versus what Tom Brady's used to running. But what they did, and we saw it when it all clicked together, was the coach and quarterback got on the same page and they both made adjustments, right? The coach decided to implement a little more of what Tom Brady was used to in New England, and Tom Brady was able to open up his repertoire a little bit, which goes to show you that it's not one or the other. It's not just the coach or the quarterback. It's both of them working together, which is a credit to that team, and they're going to be good again because they're all coming back next year, it appears. But Jesse, you look at that game, you look at what the Buccaneers, coming off a 7-9 season, and I know they get the goat at quarterback, and I know all that stuff, and Rob Gronkowski and Antonio Brown later in the season, all those guys came over and changed the scope of the offense. But when you look at that team, what they were able to do from 7-9, the Super Bowl champions, if you're a Raiders fan and you look at that, what's the lesson there maybe for the Raiders organization and fans as they watch the Raiders make their offseason moves?
Honestly, I think it's the thing we've all been talking about for so long. Get a pass rush. I mean, that changes the game. You look at the secondary that the Bucs have, and they're not world beaters. You know, they have hit on some guys. You know, Jamel Dean's a good corner. Carlton Davis is a good corner when he's not getting torched for 400 yards in a quarter. But Antoine Winfield is a good pick at safety as well, a second-round pick for them. But they're not high-round guys. They're not guys that are, you know, going to Pro Bowls and things like that. It all starts up front in the front seven. So, you know, the Raiders, again, just need to continue to address that. And the thing that Gruden's talked about so long is that it's such a game-changer when you're able to rush the quarterback and affect them. And, you know, that was one of the first times, which – I do have to note, obviously, they didn't have their full O-line, so you got to take that into account with the Chiefs. But Mahomes was still incredible with some of the things that he was able to create and some of his incompletions. But look at how much more human he seemed in that game when they got to him, they made him run. I saw the stat that he ran like nearly 500 yards before his passes or sacks, which is incredible. But you get that guy running for his life like that, and he's not going to be able to get to those playmakers. So the Raiders, obviously, like we've all said, you know, throughout the season, since the season ended, all that, need to get the pass rush going and address that in the draft, free agency, you name it, and get some help on the back end, because if you're able to sit back in coverage and take away the deep pass and get home with those guys, you can shut this offense down, or at least slow them down enough. You know, you're not going to hold them to 9 points every time, but you can slow them down enough to where a team like the Raiders with the offense that they have can score enough points to beat them. We've seen them do it once. If they add that defense, it's only a matter of time until they can start to do that probably more consistently.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You mentioned about Mahomes and the pressure on him. He was pressured 29 times, the most ever in a Super Bowl, right? So that tells you what the Buccaneers were able to do. And frankly, Jesse, that Chiefs offensive line is not very good. We've overlooked it, I think, as journalists and radio hosts and TV guys. We've overlooked it because Mahomes is so good and can do things. He almost hides the deficiencies sometimes up front with what he's able to do, but it came back to haunt them in this game. And it's surprising and not surprising that the Chiefs are already favored to win the next Super Bowl when I think it should actually be the Buccaneers, because if you look at what the Bucs were able to do, but they side with youth, and I guess they're thinking that the Buccaneers just kind of, it all came together towards the end of the season. But I like their chances again next year. It'll be interesting to see. All right, Jesse. Well, listen, man, thanks so much. And again, from the fan side of you, not the journalist side, congratulations on that. Enjoy this, and we'll talk to you real soon.
I appreciate it, man. The celebration for me starts tomorrow. That's when my weekend gets rolling.
All right. Enjoy a cold one for me, brother. Take care. That is Jesse Merrick from News 3 here in Las Vegas. You could follow him, and he's a great follow. Good, good guy. Good sports guy. At Jesse News 3LV on Twitter. We're going to step aside when we come back. I'll get to a couple more callers before the top of the hour. And then at 3 o'clock, we're going to go deep into free agency for the Raiders, talk about some of the guys I think they should target, as well as hear from you at 702-365-9200. Also, later in the hour, we'll talk about some of the big off-season pieces the NFL needs to consider. There's a lot of business to get done before the next season, and we'll talk about that, and then we'll close out the show with Vinny Bonsignore. You're listening to Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Welcome back. Silver and Black Today here on this Tuesday. Raider Nation Radio, Scott Gulbranson with you. And we are going right to the phone lines. We have a caller who's been very patient. It is Ron. Ron, you're on with Scott here on Silver and Black Today. What's going on?
Hey, Scott. How you doing?
Good, my friend. How about you?
Good, good. Hey, special shout out to the Violator who got into the Hall of Fame as a fan.
Yes. Yeah, Wayne. He was on JT's show earlier, and I'm in contact with Wayne a lot. And it could not happen to a better guy.
Yep. Three people I like to see us pick up in free agency. One would be Shaq Barrett, defensive end of the Bucks. I'd like to see maybe a John Johnson, safety of the Rams, and Richard Sherman. So you know, that's shooting for everything, but I think that'd be a good trio for us.
Yeah, Shaq Barrett, you know, he's really come along, and he's been a starter for just the 2 years. But, man, I'll tell you what, the second half of this season, I mean, the whole season he was fine, but, boy, did he play well. I mean, you watch the game tapes of him or just watching the games and what he was able to do, even in the Super Bowl, he's definitely a guy, absolutely. And then Johnson, yeah, with the Rams. I know Vinny, my colleague, comes on later, and we'll talk to him about him later. He's been on pounding that drum for a while and thinks that he would be a great addition. And you know how I feel about Sherman. I think you're right, though. I think those are the kind of guys, you know, you have a combination there of kind of long in the tooth veteran with guys that are in their prime. And I right. think that's what the Raiders can do. And I think you'll see with Gus Bradley's system, you know, nothing is for sure, of course, Ron, but I think with Gus Bradley's system and the addition of some of those types of players like you're talking about will make such a huge difference. I don't think Raider fans will recognize that defense come the first game of the season. I really don't.
Yeah, I think that I don't think – I'm with you. I don't think we were that far away. You know, we were pretty close minutes away from going instead of 8-8 to going to 11, you know, 11-5, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. Know.
So, all right, man.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
All right, Ron. Thanks for being patient, man. We appreciate you. Don't be a stranger. Call back again soon. Okay, right back on the phone lines. Raider 27. He's back on this Tuesday. How's your week going so far, my man?
Hey, I just poured myself a nice drink and getting relaxed and hey, talking to Scott. It just life can get better.
So, tell my wife that, man.
I actually missed part of the show because I was trying to get my NFL Game Pass account to work on my TV, and I don't know how I'm going to figure that out, but that's not your problem. Free agency, I got a little bit different take on free agency than a lot of people do. I don't have any problem signing free agents, but I think free agency can be a bigger crapshoot than the draft. Because you never really know what you're going to get. And you never really know how the players you sign are going to fit into your system. I think we got really lucky with Corey Littleton. He didn't really fit what Paul Gunther wanted him to do. It was a bad fit from the beginning. And as we found out later, Paul Gunther's running defenses on third and long that they haven't even seen since training camp. Yeah. So that's a real problem when you look at, you know, I'm sitting there watching Corey play, and it's like the guy looks lost. Well, yeah, no wonder. They ran a defense once 3 months ago, and he just called it a big game. I'm not, but in a 4-3 under, Corey Littleton is going to be a really good player. He's going to be able to cover and do the things. It's going to play to his strengths. So, you know, a free agency, I don't know how much money we're going to have. I'd rather keep players we have that we know are good. And then if you do have some extra bucks, yeah, absolutely go out and get an edge rusher, Richard Sherman, somebody, a couple, three veterans. Our defense is so young. I think we need to get some, maybe not an impact. You may not be able to afford Shaq Barrett. I would love to have Shaq Barrett. You may not be able to afford him, but get some good, stable veterans that'll help guide these guys through those last 8 or 9 games and keep everybody's attention focused on the details. And hopefully, you know, we stay reasonably healthy and finish the season peaking at the end. And I think I don't think we're that far away. Honestly, I think I agree with the last caller. You know, we had 3 or 4 games there that we could have won at the end of the season, and it could have been a completely different deal. You know,
yeah.
So
no, I agree.
I'm pretty optimistic. You know me, I'm positive. I'm optimistic about everything.
That's good, man.
I'm pretty optimistic about next year. I'm always there anyway. So I mean, what's good going to do to be negative?
You beat yourself up
and you're mad all the time, and it does nobody good.
Yeah. No, that's what happens, man. When you're negative, it brings negativity into your life, right? So stay positive, and that's why we love the callers on this station, because even when the callers on this station call us and they're mad or frustrated, they do so from a place, but they give you a solution. It's not just bitching to bitch. It's like, no, man, here's what we need to do. If we do that, we're going to be cool. And so, yep. Raider 27, you're always right there, and I appreciate the positivity, and I agree with you. I think they're a couple players away from being very, very competitive and turning this thing around from being 8-8 to being a 10, maybe even 11-win season next year. So all good. Great call. We will take a break here at the top of the hour. When we come back, I'm going to school Chris Chapman on good pizza. We'll talk about that in a minute. But we'll also get into more free agents, the Raiders, fit with the Raiders, including some that you might not know and some others that you already know and have been mentioned by callers. But I want to hear from you guys. 702-365-9200 is the Raider Nation radio listener hotline. I want to call in. You tell me what moves you want to make. You are the GM. Mike Mayock's gone on vacation. You're in charge. What are you going to do? Who are you going to sign to make this Raiders team a playoff team? You're with Scott here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.